Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate you listening to this podcast at HoustonTexans.com. It's Drew Doherty here as part of our 2010 Path to the Draft, sponsored by Fox Sports Houston. We're on the phone with the great Daniel Jeremiah of MoveTheSticks.com. We spoke with him at the Combine, had a great conversation in Indianapolis. Daniel, we're glad you're back with us today. Let's get started. The last time you and I spoke, we were talking mostly about defensive players and the Texans, but a name that's really kind of gaining some traction, at least in media circles, and who knows what that means in the war rooms of teams, is running back Ryan Matthews with Fresno State, an impressive collegiate career. Now he's got the eyes of some folks. What are your thoughts on him, and especially how he would maybe fit in with the Texans?
I think he's a perfect fit. I think really when you look back on this draft 5 years from now, in my opinion, I think Ryan Matthews will probably end up being the class of this running back crop. I think he can do everything. In terms of balance, when you're looking at a running back, you want to see balance. His balance is as good as any runner I've seen the last handful of years. He's strong. He can finish runs. They didn't throw him the ball much at Fresno, but he can catch. He's plenty capable of doing that, and I think he's an ideal fit in this Houston offense. With all the weapons they have, getting people spread out, with his vision, his balance, his instincts, and his really underrated home run ability, I think he's a perfect fit for that offense.
So with that in mind, do you think he's still there at number 20? Do you think anyone snaps him up even before the Texans could?
I think if I was betting, I would say he likely will be there at 20. Now, I wouldn't be totally shocked if he did go off the board before that. If you look at a team like Seattle, who needs a running back, and if they go offensive tackle with their first pick, and maybe C.J. Spiller is gone, and they are dead set on a running back, I could see them possibly doing it with their second one. But odds probably in the Texans' favor that they'll have a shot at him at 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, with Alex Gibbs being in Seattle now, is Ryan Matthews more of a zone blocking Alex Gibbs type of running back than Spiller?
You know what? I think they both are capable of running in that system. I think the zone blocking system, a lot of times you talk about a guy, is he a zone runner, is he not a zone runner? It's really pretty simple. I mean, it's really, you got one cut, you're going lateral, you put your foot in the ground and you go. And most of these guys, you're talking about good elite running backs, they're going to have no problem adapting to that. The Gibbs scheme has, with Shanahan, they have had a lot of success with late round runners. But I think when you're looking at these guys, I think they may be too good to pass up.
So, let's say Ryan Matthews is gone by that point. Is Chavid Best just too far away from what the Texans would want to do to be a possibility in Houston?
You know, I know there's a lot of teams that are hoping he falls to the top of the second round. But I don't know that it's that much of a stretch. If you take his durability issue out of the way, if you can clean him up to the physical, you have no long-term concerns about his health. Talent-wise, he's probably worthy to go there. I mean, this is an explosive, rare speed type of back. I mean, he's a home run hitter. I think talent-wise, he is probably worthy to go up there. It's just you have to alleviate some of the concerns with the durability.
Yeah, with the concussion he suffered at Cal when they played Oregon State in November, that certainly is a worry. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. We touched on Earl Thomas, the Texas safety, a little bit in Indianapolis. He still has his pro day coming up with the Horns. Where do you see him falling? Is he kind of one of those guys that could go really, really high or could maybe slide to the Texans, or do you think he's gone by number 20?
I think he's one of those players you look at from really 11 to 20. I think that's where he's going to find. Now, he could slide down to 20 and be there. I just think that there's several teams in that mix there that could use a guy like him. And you look at the 49ers to be able to pair him up with what they have there with Deshaun Golson would make sense. You look even all the way up there at 12 for the Dolphins. If they don't feel good about some of the pass rushers they're looking at, or if they were to go, that's an option for them. So I think that's right in the range where he's going to go, where the Texans are picking. And it's just kind of, you're going to have to wait and see on draft day if he makes it that far.
Let's talk about the pick itself, number 20. Seems like a pretty good spot in this year's draft. It seems like you can find guys that will help you out instantly at a variety of positions. But could you see the Texans actually moving up to take a player? Because we've never seen that under this regime, this Rick Smith and Gary Kubiak, I guess era, if you want to call it that. But could it maybe happen in 2010, or do you see them standing pat?
in a draft that's really this deep, I don't know that there's really much reason to move up unless, you're talking about going up for, the top quarterback in the draft, which is going to be long gone and it's not a need for them. There's no reason for them really to move up. If you're looking at them, looking for a corner, I think there's four corners that are pretty close in ability. I don't know that you trade up for one over another that would fall in your lap. I think with safeties, you have Earl Thomas, who's possibly going to be in your range. I think he's a good player. I don't know that I want to sacrifice, a third or a fourth round pick in a deep draft to go up and get him. So I think where they're situated is probably right where they want to be. And if they moved anywhere, I wouldn't be shocked in a draft like this to see them slide back.
You just talked about those four corners. If they think they can get a Kyle Wilson later in that first, do you think, you just mentioned sliding back, you see that that may be happening?
I think it's a possibility. And one thing, if you look at where they're picking, it's kind of interesting. You always want to see, is there something going to be there? Do I have a commodity I can trade in order for me to get out? And if you look right where they're picking right ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals, who it's a pretty poorly kept secret that they are very infatuated with the tight end Jermaine Gresham from Oklahoma. So mm-hmm. when you have a team behind you that has a player specifically in mind, and you have teams like Baltimore that could be looking for a young tight end to go with their young quarterback, now you have maybe a chip that you could trade having that slot perfectly situated before the Bengals. So I think there could be a reason for them to move back. And when you talk about Kyle Wilson possibly being there, I think if when they're on the clock, they have two of those four corners that are still available, I think it probably makes sense to slide back four or five picks with the odds being in your favor that one of them will still be there.
A lot of folks that follow the draft know that Joe Hayden of Florida is the top corner, and then Kyle Wilson has kind of sort of delineated himself as the number two. But you mentioned the four corners. Who are the other two guys that folks should keep an eye on? I'm guessing Devin McCourty of Rutgers is one. Who's that fourth guy?
Kareem Jackson from Alabama mm-hmm. is really, really good, and a lot of people are very high on him. He makes a lot of plays. The only question with him coming into the combine was really his speed, and then he ran plenty fast enough. He ran in the mid-4.4s, so I don't know that he really has any holes in him. He's been coached by Nick Saban. He comes out extremely polished. I think he's just he's a plug-in and play. I think he'll come in and be a day-one starter and be a top-shelf, at worst, the top-shelf number two corner.
What keeps him behind Devin McCourty in your eyes, or is he ahead of him?
You know what? You can flip it either way. Devin McCourty is a little bit stronger and a little bit more explosive of an athlete. But I think if you're looking at purely football players, I think Jackson's probably a better football player.
And then let's kind of tilt that to the Texans. Let's say Jackson and McCourty, how would they stack up with a Glover Quinn who came in and did some really nice things for us here in Houston last year? And a lot of folks are kind of counting on him to lock down one of the corner spots here because he started about 10, 11 games for the Texans last year. How do those two guys, those two draft possibilities, stack up against Glover Quinn?
I think they're more, well, especially Jackson. I think Jackson's a more fluid player, more athletic player, where McCourty is a more explosive player. I think they come in with probably a little bit better resume coming out of college, playing at a higher level, and Glover Quinn has been a nice addition for them, and I think that pairing him up with either one of these corners would give them a nice young nucleus to go years and years into the future with. I look at a team that we were just talking about, the Cincinnati Bengals, mm-hmm. and what a luxury they have with Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph to have two young corners that you can just line up and play with for the next 5 or 6 years is a tremendous advantage for your football team.
What about the defensive tackle position? I know you were pretty high on Brian Price from UCLA back in Indianapolis. That's still the case, and what guys have kind of move themselves up a little bit in your mind at the defensive tackle spot lately?
Yeah, I'm a big fan for Brian Price, especially for a 4-3 team or a team that's looking for an interior pass rusher. I think he's one of those players, when you project his skill set, I think he'll even be a better pro than he was in college. He's ready-made. He's very quick. He's got some explosiveness to him. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a guy like Russell Maryland when he came out. He's got that kind of a body, but he's a really, really good player. He's somebody that's intriguing to me. I think likelihood of Dan Williams being there is slim to none. I think he'll be gone. The 3-4 teams will value him. You look at a guy like Jared Odrick, I think he's probably maybe, could be a little early for him there. where the Texans pick, he'd be a nice three technique in their defense. But it's a very, very deep draft. You can get guys in the second or third round this year that'll come in and help your club.
Yeah, you just said something really intriguing about Price. You say he could be a better pro than he was in college, and he was the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year on a 6-loss UCLA team. I mean, that's some pretty high praise. And then you also compare him to Russell Maryland. So, I mean, why aren't more people clamoring about this guy if he's that good?
Well, I just think that there's so much attention on the top two guys, and the top two guys, they're rare birds. I mean, they're bigger and stronger than Price. I mean, they're two of the better D tackles to come out in the last decade. So, with all the attention on them, a guy like this kind of slips through the cracks. You know, and I'm not saying he's gonna, you know, fall really far, but I'm just saying in years past, this guy could have been a top 10, top 12 pick. But with the defensive tackle position being completely stacked this year, I think you've seen this guy somewhat fly under the media radar. But I know a lot of teams are very high on him.
I know we're bouncing around a bit, but I follow you on Twitter. And you said recently that Dez Bryant, the Oklahoma State wide receiver, probably won't fall out of the – you almost guarantee that he won't fall out of the first round because the talent is just so undeniable. He's been dogged by a lot of off-the-field question marks. Would that even – where do you see him winding up? Because he's kind of all over the map if you look at various mock drafts.
You know what? I think there's a chance you could still see him go in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you never know with the Raiders. You can't predict what they're going to do. You've got Buffalo who could use a receiver. Jacksonville's been looking for one for it seems like forever. They have to be considered. You got the Broncos who, you know, could be moving Brandon Marshall, which would put them in the market. And you look at the Dolphins, the team that needs one. So really, there's 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that could be in the market for a guy like that. And then I look at a team like the Ravens who just seems like their goal is to stockpile weapons for their young quarterback. I can't see him if for some ungodly reason he slid down to their lap. I couldn't see them passing on him.
That's good stuff. We're going to leave with one final question for you. If Earl Thomas and Ryan Matthews are both there and available at 20, who do the Texans take, you think?
You know, I'm going to say Ryan Matthews just because I think he has a chance to change games for them more than Earl Thomas will. I think Earl Thomas is a nice player, but I think Ryan Matthews has a chance to be an upper echelon running back. And in this game, the way we're in right now, look at the Super Bowl. You got the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts. You're going to win, and you're going to get by teams in the playoffs by scoring points, and this guy helps you do that.
Good stuff. Do you even see that, by the way, that scenario coming to fruition, the Thomas and Matthews being available at 20?
I would say there's a chance. I wouldn't say it's likely, but I would say there's a chance. If Thomas would be the one I would probably think would likely be gone. But, you know, there's always a chance.
Good stuff. Daniel Jeremiah, we really appreciate the time. We follow you religiously. MoveTheSticks.com. You do a great work. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it.